Hey, random or not, here we come. Random or not. This is what the theme has been for the entire week. Shatter the Darkness live broadcast here. Russ Dizdar, May the 20th, the day before the supposed rapture is supposed to occur. Tomorrow's the 21st. Will we be out of here? Or, well, let me put it out this way. In the Beacon Journal here in Akron, Ohio, here's what it says, posted at 6:48 p.m., on the 18th. Soak up the sunshine on Saturday. It may be the last day of your life. Starting at 6 p.m. in every time zone, earthquakes will roll across the planet. The earth will be ripped apart. The graves of the dead will open up and the bones and the ashes of the non-believers be cast around. This is the start of the rapture, when believers will be whisked away to heaven, according to Columbus area Bible teacher Gunther von Herring Sr. He is a follower of Harold Camping, 89, of Oakland, California, whose family worldwide radio has spent 2 years trumpeting the date when Jesus Christ will return to earth. Rapture and destruction. Rapture and destruction will progress all around the world, said von Herriga. The whole human race is like convicts on a death row. We're waiting to be executed. Von Herriga operates Family Ministries International in Delaware, Ohio, which provides programs to Camping's nationwide network of radio and TV stations. Camping, a retired civil engineer, not a Bible scholar, spent decades of studying Bible numerology. I didn't know the Bible numerology. Where'd that come from? I've been to 5 other schools, never seen a course on Bible numerology. Now, there's occult numerology that some want to try to apply to scriptures when they don't have the Spirit of God to guide them. Well, let me keep quoting here. To pinpoint the date of the rapture, the 153 subsequent days of chaos and destruction, and the end of the earth on October 21st, his website provides a complicated explanation in 82 languages of why the end is near. Basically, it involves the number of years since Noah's Ark. Listen again, I'm quoting, the date May 21st, 2011, derives solely from evidence found in the Bible, quote unquote. Now, that's according to Camping. I'm going to give you 3 reasons why you can throw Camping out the back door today. And would by God's providence and leading, this be part of the media's understanding that what Camping is doing and what he is saying has nothing to do with the simplicity of Scripture, the power of biblical prophecy, and the truth concerning the end of the age. Now, there's goes on to talk about Camping did not return a call and so forth, and just tells all about, and listen, what are you hearing about it? You're hearing it about it on Coast to Coast, many other radio stations in the media. I just read from the local newspaper here an article that was sent to me by my daughter concerning this entire event. And so it is kind of amazing. It really is that so many people have now broadcast it, got into it, proclaiming it. There are parties tonight, parties tomorrow. There are people that, well, they're paying others to take care of their animals once they're gone. So let me ask you something. What do you think about this? How are you feeling about this? What are you going to do about all of it? I'm going to tell you what, that it does have implications. What they're not broadcasting is Camping has a lot of other issues, like the denial of the deity of Christ, that nobody can be saved since, I think, what, 1994? That the Spirit of God has left, that he and his group are the only ones, all others are apostate. And again, that's the primary signs of a cult when you go over a number of characteristics from a cult. So the teachings of Harold Camping, as I said the other night, Tuesday night when I went over this, is very similar to Jehovah Witnesses. Somebody asked me today, why will all these individuals actually believe him? Well, same issue. Why are there those who are Jehovah Witnesses? Now, when the Jehovah Witnesses come to my door and they knock on the door, I let them in. And I let them start to talk, and then I begin to ask them questions. Then I begin to point them to Jesus Christ, God in human flesh. And I keep asking them whether or not the living Christ dwells in them, if they have the Spirit of Christ dwelling in them. Of course, they can't answer that. They don't have the Spirit of Christ in them. They don't have the spirit of adoption that's revealed or spoken about in Romans 8. And when you don't have the Spirit, listen, you could read it, Romans chapter 8, for yourself. If you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of His. And that's part of the evidence of being a real believer. Romans chapter 10 talks about believing on the name of the Lord Jesus and confessing Him as Lord and Savior, believing that God raised Him from the dead, and you will be saved. There's the Word of God we rely on. There's the Spirit of God, the bearing of witness inside of us. So the Word of God on the outside, the Spirit of God on the inside, and that's the bottom line. That's the proof in the pudding. That is the black and white issue. Whether or not the Spirit of the living God dwells in you, which means Christ is in you, which means there's a new nature in you, which means you've been forgiven, you've been set free, that you've been empowered, that your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, that you know God, and that you can grow deep in Christ, in God. Now, the Spirit of God dwells in you to make known all the things that God has given. And that's the difference. You can study this out if you want to in 1 Corinthians chapters 2 and 3. The man without the Spirit of God cannot understand, doesn't know. If you don't have the Spirit of God on the inside, for those that recon the show, for those who are brotherhooders and others, listen, you sit on the opposite side. Some of you stand there as enemies. You think, I'm an enemy. You have no idea that I love you, that God loves you, that God is seeking you, that you've been brought out now onto the field, per se, for interaction to occur, and that would be the summoning of the Spirit of God, the gripping of God's, well, His voice, His presence drawing you. God pursues you. That's the good news today. All the way to the end, God is not willing that anyone would perish, but that everyone would come to repentance. And we can go over the scriptures that speak about that God wills all, pas anthropos, it says, Timothy chapter 2, to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. So if you're listening right now to check out things and what's being said today, God wants to save you if you're lost. And you can come to Christ and come to know God right now. If you're a believer in Christ, well, you put up the prayers for this hour. This is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net on the web, May the 20th, a Friday night, the day before the 21st, 2011. You see, I told you in January, all through January, that 2011 would go fast because most would focus on 2012. Well, I've got something to bring up today. By the way, if you've been to the website, shatterthedarkness.net, it says random or not, random episodes, events, chaos, and crazy eruptions in the end of days. What's up with May 21st, 2011? That's what I wrote Monday morning. Well, you had a Monday morning on the website. If you visit Shadow of the Darkness, don't forget on the left-hand side, there are training courses, literally hundreds of MP3s. We're constantly trying to clean them up, fix them up, get them, you know, better, you know, for you out there. But the good news is that thousands and thousands are being downloaded and used daily. So I'm glad, and I pray wherever they're downloaded in over 90 countries of the world that the Spirit of God will strengthen and bless and guide and just enlarge your spiritual walk in life to the glory of God and to your knowing of Christ and to your ability to help lead others. So those friends that are there in Finland and Sweden and Switzerland, in Estonia and the Czech Republic and Romania and Germany and even Russia, and all of you in Italy and France and Spain and there in England and Ireland and Canada. And we can go across all, listen, China, Japan, dear friends. May I ask you today that God would encourage you by His Spirit to lead others to Christ and to become the most powerful prayer warrior you can become in these days. I love the words of Jesus, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be opened. In the context of that, you know how he teaches, how much more will the Father give good gifts to them that ask. So, tremendous laying out of what prayer is to be about. So, prayers for you today in Jesus' name, extraordinary. We're asking God to work in an extraordinary way, saving, healing, delivering, incredible ways of getting into countries. And we've been praying that God would take broadcasts and MP3s into the political and military and elite economic circles around the world. We want those who do check out the show and, well, monitor it to know that we've prayed for you to be here too. So we're glad you're here. I got to tell you about two things that came in today. Then I'm going to take you to the, we have the PDF file, the study notes, and outline. And I have listed on Friday night, the 20th here, the issues of random or not. I'm going to answer the question, is all this week, random or not? Is there clarity? Is there sequence? And then I'm going to touch on some issues that bring in a sense of randomness. Just random events, just things occurring or not. And let me say here at the very beginning, not that what you see happening in the, well, the world of spiritual deception, dark spirituality, lethal dark things on the satanic side, and then the violence and war and things that are erupting that way, and then the environmental issues, including specifically earthquakes. We could look at these things as kind of crazy random issues. Even the Harold Camping issue is, again, a matter of deception. And I'm going to mention something here under, I believe here, point H today. We have from A to I today as far as points I'm going to bring to you. Now, they might seem like even random points, but literally they are all about what is going on. And let me tell you this right now. What's going on right now is not random. It's the actual signs of the end of days that Jesus outlined, Matthew 24. First, I got a letter in the mail today. Maybe the guy that sent it is listening right now. And we've asked God to crush anything and everything on a demonic level and to expose what's going on. This time it's Bible pages ripped out of a Bible, burnt, and now there's blood all over them. And some stuff written in it. And so this one I'm bringing to the team later tonight because we're going to be on an outreach night. We're going to go visit Carl in the hospital, pray for him. But we're going to be on the outreach tonight. You know, we're going to be on the outreach. We got a mission. God has given every believer a mission. And we're going to step out and say, God, help take us to do your mission. Find someone that needs Jesus. Pray for those who need healing. And engaging any demonic stuff, command it out. May God make all who are listening stronger and stronger in Christ. That's right, a letter just today. Blood ritual, burnt pages of a Bible. I don't know really what was done behind the scenes, but it showed up. Now, the weird part, unless they're giving a false return address, the return address is in the left-hand corner. Wonder what the postmaster would think about this. Facebook, I told you in the beginning of the week, and I read to you that somebody also had sent me a note saying that May 21st, early in the morning, could be 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning, I don't know, they're declaring that a lot of the sleepers, the chosen ones, will be unleashed and targeted against churches and Christians, and they're going to kill and they're going to do some destruction, and that they're literally coming after me. So from midnight, after midnight on tonight, early in the morning, May the 21st, whether this is something, you know, someone who's way off the beaten path, spiritually, scripturally, Harold Camping, is pumping out his stuff and getting the limelight, maybe there's others that want this too. But the dark side, because this came when an individual began to write to me, But a sub-personality took over to declare what's going to happen. And it was done in what I thought was a Latin, but more Italian-oriented. As a matter of fact, I wrote back to the person. Didn't hear from them directly or the Italian-oriented personality that might be listening right now. But I did hear back. Here's what it says, and I will not reveal the names. Don't worry about this. I also want to let you know I was the one that emailed you and was talking fine at first, and I see I switched to Italiano. Now, earlier, here's what they said prior to this note. I know I am both SRA, that is Satanic Ritually Abused, MPD, multiple persons on the inside, that they've run away from a group called the Brotherhood. I wonder if this individual came out of Pennsylvania. They ran from a group called the Brotherhood. It is so hard to find the right kind of help. I got to shut up for now before stuff happens. So our prayer today, extraordinary. God, let there be extraordinary. Stretch out your hands to this individual for extraordinary deliverance, extraordinary healing, and saving, God. Deliver them, God. Stretch out their hands. Pray for this individual today. Another young, in her 30s, lady out of Pennsylvania, in the same condition, trying to escape, want to get away, sub-personalities inside, demonization, and sub-personalities that will inform and tell on her, and also report if anybody tries to help who's doing the helping. So we have those two things going on here today. So I wonder what's going to happen middle of the night, all the rest of the day tomorrow. I know I've got some grass to cut and I got a lot of things to do. I've got about 1 month behind because of all the stuff here. We're looking quickly for another place to live. We're at two houses today. And so for those who are waiting for me, email-wise and everything else, my apologies truly. But we do have to take care of issues here so that we are not left high and dry in the next 30 days. So we're looking, and we know that there's many praying, and we're looking for God's door. We're excited about it. We're anticipating, expecting, literally, God to open doors in one of two places that we've looked at. And then we'll make the big, big, big move. It's going to take us a few weeks, a few weekends. Now, I want to say this about Harold Camping. Three things for you. This is not on the notes tonight, but you can mark it down if you want. Three reasons why, or tell the local media, or let the local media carry this out. Three reasons why Harold Camping is so massively off. Three things. His allegory. He's got an allegorical approach which leaves him to any kind of interpretation he wants. Bizarre. You know, the Word of God needs to be translated and shared and studied and read in the historical, grammatical, you know, sequence of it. Historical, grammatical. And it's got to be studied in the context. And then Scripture interprets Scripture. Let me give you four rules. One, you got to have the Spirit of God in you to really know the Word of God. Otherwise, your eyes will be closed and the sin nature will fight against knowing it, all of it. Let alone the blinding of the enemy. But the Spirit of God is there to help us. That's why it's important for all believers. Take time in reading and studying and restudying and relooking and rereading. And, you know, I'm almost in this 37 years. And so in the morning I'm studying and reading some and getting verses for tonight. I hope to bring you that word of hope today from James 5. But the Spirit of God. And then the historical grammatical approach, that is, you know, as the Scripture was written historically in the grammatical sense, and then thirdly, context, what is the context saying? And then fourthly, Scripture interprets Scripture. And just those four basics, the Spirit of God in you, the historical grammatical approach, the context approach, the Scripture interpreting Scripture approach is vital in knowing. And you know what? Harold Camping blows all of this out of the water in private-oriented interpretations, what the scripture speaks against, and in the allegory, the allegorical method. And when anybody does that, they can make scripture say anything they want it to say, and that's wide open to massive deception, personal opinion, and so forth. And number two, here's the second reason why he's so off base. Numerology, this whole thing, there's no such thing really as biblical numerology. We can look at biblical stuff and the book of Numbers. We can look at whatever God brings out as far as, well, like the number 7 or the number 666. Now, we can touch on these issues, but occult-oriented numerology in a complex adding and of dates in all kinds of random ways to come up with a conclusion, no, absolutely not. And then thirdly, he directly opposes the word of God when Jesus Christ himself says, no man knows the day or the hour. So what he has done to bring out a day shows you it wasn't done by the Spirit of God, wasn't done by the use of the word of God, wasn't done by the hand of God in any way. The allegorical mess up, the occult-oriented numerology, and then the direct opposition. So, again, Harold Camping's got to be thrown out to the woodshed. Don't know if he's saved because of the issues of what he believes about Christ himself, whether he's deity or not, and what salvation really means. So to all the Harold Campanites that might even listen to this, when it comes to May 22nd, May 23rd, May 24th, and all of this that you've been involved with comes crumbling to the ground, as it did in 1994, as it did with the guy that did 88 Reasons Why Christ Will Return in 1988, and it didn't work, so he tried 89, and it didn't work. Where did he go? You don't need to do those things. Jesus taught against that kind of stuff and instead left us with the issue of a number of signs that all have to be in place and moving to a global scale for us to realize how close we are to the end. That, again, is Matthew 24. So reporters and media folks and others and skeptics and scoffers now, I'm sure that there's people like Stephen Hawking, you know, thinking that on Sunday the 22nd, and nobody's gone out of this world, there's no return of Christ, that he's going to solidify his unbelief. You know, Richard Dawkins and others. No doubt they're having that's one of the points I'm going to bring out here today. Let's go over the points today and tonight, starting with A, when it comes to the issues. Random or not. And I'm going to tell you right now, not. That the things that are going on all around the world, they are not just out of nowhere random events. As a matter of fact, the multiple random events that are going on around the world, actually, when we know specifically Matthew 24, that brings about a clarity. It can't be just one of the signs. It can't be one or two of the signs in just simple local areas or regional areas. We need to read what Jesus says in Matthew 24 about when all of these things, and some of them point to global issues, even like the preaching the gospel to the ends of the world. So it's got to be all of these things, all of these signs, when all of these signs, and on a global level, that brings clarity. What Jesus said about the end of days, and I say this, if we did not have the words of Jesus concerning the end of days, it would seem crazy and mixed up and wild and random, and look what's going on, earthquakes here and this going on there and cults over there and weird, you know, possessions around the world and all of the violence going on and wickedness going on and war issues going on. It seems endless. And that anticipation, literally, of massive collapse of human history, well, that's in the air. That's in the critical mass. That's in the minds and hearts of, I would say, billions now. So A is clarity. Matthew 24 gives clarity concerning the end of days. When Jesus says, you know, well, let me just say clarity. Who's going to be able to give the definition? Who's going to be able to lay out, as I've said, biblical prophecy always being accurate? And one of the ways to really demonstrate the giving of biblical prophecy and then the fulfillment is to look at the Old Testament to the New. Like Psalm 16, 1,000 years later, the resurrection of Christ. Or Isaiah, whether it's the birth from the Virgin, the birth of the Son of God, called Emmanuel, Mighty God. Or if Isaiah 53, the suffering servant, Christ on the cross, 700 years prior. So you've got hundreds of Old Testament, God gave massive communication concerning what was to come the first time God in Christ would visit this world. All the way to the cross, the death, the resurrection, even about Judas and the 30 pieces of silver, all kinds of definitive and detailed prophetic out of the Old Testament, anywhere from a few, you know, numbers of hundreds of years to 1,000 years in advance. So that brings clarity. There was clarity that was given by God concerning the first arrival. There is now even larger clarity concerning the second coming of Christ. But I'm going to say again, out of what's left, and that's a lot of biblical prophecy, there are three tiers. God shows us the future as far as what he is going to do. God shows us the sequence and the events of the future as far as the satanic side, and no one else can do that. No one else can do that. The finite dark spirits, the seducing spirits that have guided Helena Blavatsky or Alice Bailey or Nostradamus or Edgar Casey or Sylvia Brown and on and on and on, and even remote viewers, well, they come up with the same stuff, the same information, because it's coming from the same source. And notice that it will not bring any revelation at all of what hell, the satanic agenda, is doing. God and God alone rips open wide the evolution of satanic sequence, the events that are about to occur that bring us all the way to Armageddon, the last day of fallen human history. And the ultimate, that's the ultimate end game. I mean, if you want to talk about Satan getting to the temple and saying, I am God, well, that's one issue. I don't care if he says it 10 days in a row. He'll never be able to say it with a capital G. Doesn't matter if all the deceived people of the world believe him, he's not going to be God. Not because he proclaims it, not because he's tried to evolve to it, not because all the demons say he is, not because all the unbelief, you know, listen, all because, you know, deceived individuals, just not going to happen. The finite never has, never will become infinite almighty God. And that's good news, because look at his nature. Father of lies and a murderer from the very beginning of his fall, his transmutation. So God gives, number one, in biblical prophecy, God gives clarity, not confusion. Matter of fact, without the scripture, there could be a lot of confusion and seeming randomness, random things, crazy things. See, the world sees dismantling, destabilization, crazy stuff. That's why they feel the fear. That's part of the satanic side of things, to create that fear, to create that destabilization, to create the need for some strong hand and new order that will bring them a masqueraded peace. And God says that ultimate deception will bring about the ultimate destruction. Do you hear me, Luciferian? Do you hear me, Satanist? Do you hear me, New Ager? So clarity is, and you will get that clarity as you study. I mean, you read Jesus. If you're new to this program, if you're media, just read the words of Jesus. And all of a sudden you can say, wow, that's exactly what's going on in the world. Well, point B on the page today is sequence. That's right. Jesus gives a sequence Here's the three factors in all of it. In all of it. Number one, spiritual deception. Number two, horrific violence. Number three, environmental collapse or destruction. Let me say it again under sequence. You see, Jesus begins when they ask about the end of the age, the end of history, and his return. He begins with spiritual deception, unprecedented, unequaled spiritual deception. That is all the way through the theme of Matthew 24. You'll find it in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the massive panoramic view of that deception. You'll find it in 1 John 2. You'll find it in the book of Revelation. Chapter 12 specifically, the agenda of deception is billions. It is global. You have to understand there is a global mission. And this is what God unveils. Nobody else is going to do this. God unveils this, that the dark side in its full manifest, not only the sequence of manifestation, but the events that bring massive unleash of dark demonic presence into this world. Spiritual deception is number one with the goal of deceiving the entire globe. Revelation 12 will tell you that. The part of that sequence will be the incredible violence, wars, rumors of wars, the red horse event of butchering, the pale horse event of one-fourth of mankind, billions dying. You've got the increase of wickedness. So when we talk about the end of days, we're talking about violence and wickedness and bloodshed and war. We're talking about that increasing. Jesus even warned that it could increase all the way to the annihilation of the human race, unless he stepped in, unless God did something to save that or to stop that from happening. Let me say to the Satanist right now, that's on an individual basis, or any cult leader out there, on an individual basis, Jim Jones, on an individual basis, the Solar Temple, or a group level like them, it's all about the deeper the deception, the worse, at times, violence, if not, some level of suicide being involved. Listen, when you think in terms of, the Solar Temple, or you think in terms of Jim Jones and others, we have no idea how broad this really is. The last report I read years ago, 30,000 different kinds of cults in the United States. So the deception issue, the violence issue, and then Jesus brings in the environmental issue. The book of Revelation brings in the environmental issue. Look at the third of the earth, the third of the waters, the green grass. I mean, God brings in what's going to happen. So on that three-tier thing, God says, here's what I'm going to be doing. God says, here's what Satan's going to be doing. Look what he's going to be doing. And then God says, here's what humanity's going to be doing. And God gives all of that for believers in Christ as a heads up and as evangelistic tools that we would have the clarity and the sequence down clear to share with the world. Like Peter did, listen to me, please listen to this. In Acts chapter 2, when the prophecy of Joel was fulfilled and the power of the Spirit of God fell, and Peter stood up and said, this is that which the prophet Joel spoke about. The exact fulfillment of what was prophesied. So when it comes to God, God doesn't, kind of fulfill prophecy or sort of fulfill prophecy. We don't have to make it look like it. We don't have to build it up. God, when it comes to prophecies being fulfilled, what he is going to do, it is razor sharp. It is absolute. It is absolutely like he said it would be. When God unveils what Satan's going to do, it's going to be just what God says Satan's going to do. Is there going to be an Antichrist forged out of hell's presence and powers? Yes. How about a false prophet? Yes. How about a political, economic, military, demonized, globalist system? Yes. What about the opening of the abyss? Yes. What about Babylon and the greatest manifestation of demonic presence in human history? Yes. God gives the heads up. Let me just say how absolutely it's squandering. Squandering this massive revelation, if we as believers, specifically as some would call the theologians and the pastors and the scholars and the teachers, I'm talking about those right on with Christ, born of the Spirit of God, loving Him, following the mission, doing the Word. Now, we need to get this, we need across the board, the body of Christ and leadership, to be just like they were simply in the book of Acts. Under the lordship of Christ. Filled consciously, experientially with the power of the Spirit of God. Unleashing the gospel consistently, never stopping, always moving forward. We got to pray like they did, witness like they did. And I believe without question, since Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, forever, the Greek actually says for every day, always, exactly the same. So that means that if I launch out the way they launched out, then Christ, the living Christ, who said, I'll be with you always to the very end of the age, that he'll be operative among what we do, that anything and everything that was necessary and blessed and of God's grace and mercy and power in the book of Acts, well, let me tell you this. I say it'll all occur in the same way if we walk in obedience, launch out in obedience in the same way. God didn't start off with great power and might and his hand only to fade out to cold nothingness. See, that's a part of that's when Jesus came to the church of Sardis, you know what he said? Hey, you were once alive, but now you're dead. That's the possibility for any individual believer, any local church, any string of churches, or even a nation where churches are, where there's been suppression. Just quit doing the will of God. Just quit doing the Word of God. Just quit doing the mission. Just quit doing what the Word of God says to do. And watch how cold, how dead, how empty, how lifeless, how unChristlike you can become. Now, I'm sure that there are believers that don't want that to happen, but there might be some believers listening right now, whether by archive later on, you dear friends satellite-wise, and you dear friends internet radio, where are you at on this issue? Dead or alive? I mean, that's a poster. The Church of Sardis there in the book of Revelation, that's a poster, dead or alive. Well, I know one thing, God wants to find his people alive. But he found a church dead. Once alive, but it became dead. Brother and sister in Christ, it's possible. You may have experienced it. You may feel it now. Yeah, your eyes welling up with tears right now. You feel the Spirit of God, the Spirit of grace coming all over you. You realize the junk and the filth and the ugliness you need to get out of. The squandering of your salvation, you become dead. Nobody saved, no answered prayer, no miracle. You might not even know demonic presences around you, let alone be able to deal with it. And yet Jesus, to the church of Sardis, gave them, as he gives you today, a way out of that dead, cold, empty. There's a lot of regret there in that cold, dead, backslidden Christianity. May the Spirit of God strike. May the Spirit of God come with great power on all of us to quicken us, even if he has to say, you're once alive, but now you're dead, 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 dead. But Jesus offers a way out. He tells them to remember what they have received. Remember what they have heard. Nothing's changed. Come back to the living Christ. Surrender to the living Christ. Come under the lordship of Christ. Step up to yield in obedience. Affirm and appropriate all the Word of God. Begin to put all of it into practice, as James 1 says, so you'll be blessed. And I'm going to tell you that if you get under the lordship of Christ, and the only proof of that, obedience to Jesus' word, the word of God. Read about it, John's Gospel 12 and 13. If you love Jesus, you will obey his word. Put it into practice, and you will bear fruit, and fruit that will last, and you will become powerful in prayer, powerful in spiritual witness, powerful all across the board. God, listen to me, bear witness in the spirit if you want to test this. God wills strong, powerful believers. Want me to say it again? May the Spirit of God speak into our hearts. Under the notes today, point B, Jesus shows the sequence of the end of days. He gives the clarity and shows the sequence, and believers should not be looking around saying, oh, the sky is falling. Oh, we're all going crazy. Look at the world. We should be saying, look what's happening. Just as predicted, massive spiritual deception. On every level, doctrine, signs, wonders, experiences, false prophets, people claiming to be the Christ, goofy stuff out there, including the false prediction of Harold Camping. And how about the violence and the war and all the stuff that keeps going on? Obama tells Netanyahu today in Israel, go back to 1967. Are you kidding me? Whose is Jerusalem? You know what the answer is? God's. It's God's place. You know what? When there are those who reject God and Messiah, their area, as Jesus said in Matthew, is left of them desolate. Let's keep right on rocking here through this point C. Rob Bell and the End of Hell. Rob Bell, the emerging church, and the watering down. Once again, I mean, this is almost like the goal of Laodicea. The goal of, you know, we really don't think God would be so harsh as to let anybody go to hell. So we've got to kind of believe in a book that's written called The Velvet Elvis or Love Wins. Let me ask Rob Bell again, the emergent church individuals again. When Rob Bell tells the story of in heaven, won't it be a surprise when you're sitting next to somebody who's a racist? Rob Bell hasn't read the Word of God. There's no racists in heaven. Among all the glorified, there are no racists. Does Rob Bell think that Hitler's going to be up there at one of the tables, and Charles Manson's going to be up there at one of the other tables, and Pol Pot's going to be there, and Stalin's going to be there, and all the purged millions of Russians? You think for a moment heaven's going to be like Earth? Are you kidding me? In this fallen world where there's this mixture and battle and all of this going on, where there's sin and death and corruption and violence and rape and all that, you think a rapist is going to be in heaven? Because God just wouldn't have any hell. God's not going to let anybody go to hell. Rob Bell, get it together. Get it together, man. Come under the lordship of Christ. Evil, rot-gut-willed evil will be dealt with. Hell was created for the devil and his angels ultimately. But I guarantee everyone listening to my voice right now, Jesus taught about it. It's very clear. Listen, let me just tell you something. Go to first chapter of 2 Thessalonians. Tell me if there's anything about everlasting destruction, shut out from the presence of God forever. There's no annihilationism. That would be just an escape. There are those that, you know why they perish? God says in the scripture, they perish because they refuse to be saved and love the truth. And if you read down a few verses, it's because they have a growing delight in wickedness. Don't let anybody water down. And again, the goal isn't to become just a red-faced, screaming Mimi, condemning everybody. Jesus Christ was not sent into the world to condemn. We're already condemned by our sin. We've already sinned. We already got the death code. We're already dying. What are you going to do if you're dying, you're unsaved, there's nothing inside of you? What are you going to do to get the gift of indestructible immortality and be able to see in the deepest of love that you could ever understand the face of God? It's not going to be pills that transhumanist Ray Kurzweil will give you. Point D, evolutionary Christianity. Let me give you a heads up. Michael Dodd, appreciate Tim that sends many different articles to me out of the West there. And when I first looked into this, I decided to buy the book, Thank God for Evolution. And you know what? Truthfully, that's why I read these kind of things, to see an individual that at up front with a smiling face claiming God, claiming Christ, claiming glowing excitement for the future. Yet in the book, he denies the deity of Christ, denies the saving power of God, denies the virgin birth, denies all kinds of things, changes everything, just like the demon-ascended master told Alice Bailey in the externalization of the hierarchy for their people to do. Michael Dodd is as false a prophet as anyone could be. The evolutionary Christianity, the movement that's going all over, and I've been shown articles where there's been schools and churches that have allowed, at first, they use the terms. That's where they are blatant liars. They know what they're doing. They're changing all the terms. They're trying to make themselves look like friends of real believers, real churches. And yet the explanation is, and so I say to the scholars and the theologians that love Jesus and follow him the right way, this is the cutting edge that needs to be taught to leaders and pastors and those in the Bible schools. Look at this level of deception. So on many different fronts, deception rises. Point E in the notes today, the threat of Satanism in Russia. Now, I'm not giving random things here. I'm just giving, again, a series. I could probably put 100 things on the page, but we only have an hour. But on this page today, we got about 10 things, and I want you to know that that I really got my eye and my heart and my prayers on Russia. That doesn't mean I don't for China and many other places. I do. And those in those nations, please understand, I am asking God to bring me there. And I did this for years, and then I realized I'm right there with you right now. Because thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of downloads of these messages and even the archives from the live radios being downloaded in your nation. But I still want to visit. Still love to do larger evangelistic campaigns. Still love to talk to the Chinese government and Red Guard. Would love to. Would love to sit down with Putin and talk God, not politics, talk God. See, God died for human beings, the kings of the earth, all of us. He died for all of us. InfoGuard, government monitoring. He died for all of us. Brotherhood is listening. There's a blood so pure that all of hell fears it, the blood of Christ. But the threat of Satanism in Russia in the last 8 months, when a national security director proclaims that the infiltration of Satanism in the military and in law enforcement in Russia is the number one threat to Russian security. And the stories of Satanism since the collapse, I mean, people read about the black market. People read about human trafficking. And horrific all across the board. But many have not touched on yet the fact that back in the late 40s and 50s, the same scientists that were brought here that knew how to split the human core and create sub-personalities and try to develop super soldiers and bring the occult powers and bring psi warriors and... So in Russia, there's a lot of hardcore cold abuse that has gone on. Satanism, story after story after story. You can read about the kids that drew in others and sacrificed them, then began to eat them. Now, you can read about those stories in Russia all across the board. And so there is a focus, and there's even a belief, and there is somewhat a Hudson Taylor believed, the missionary Hudson Taylor believed there'd be a great, great revival in Russia. And so I can only tell you that my heart, led by the Spirit of God, is focused for the salvation of those that monitor, those that listen, those who open the gates and allow the message and the MP3 to get into your nation. It's about God's love for you. It's about God's desire you to seek you and summon you. And you can come to Christ right now. Point F. Point F tonight. It is 2012 Swells. Here's the email I got. Early board registration for Dennis and Terrence McKenna. It's called the Prophets Conference. Not Prophets of God, of course. Prophets of the New Age. Prophets of, 2012 and the prophecies and everything. So on the left it says, Dennis McKenna, Psychedelic Adventures at the Edge of the Abyss. And so McKenna has been hailed, and information that he's brought out has been looked at and read. I've read materials and book materials. What many do not understand is that he's getting a lot of his insight, revelation, and dazzling people because of the psychedelics, the drugs, the ayahuasca, the acid, the other things that are being taken. And so don't miss the mix in the 2012 spiritual development. And pharmakia, the kinds of drugs that open to the ancient demon gods that bring deep, broad, demonically oriented revelations once again to grip minds and hearts. And so we have Graham Hancock involved, and Daniel Pinchbeck involved, and Satish Kumar involved, and Geoff Stray, and on and on the names can go. But I'm going to say, keep your eyes on that, because the 2012 issue is going to continue to swell and continue to develop. And I believe that more that is already embedded and already plotted to be unleashed along the way will do so to fulfill. Listen, because if you read Revelation 12, the fallen cherub and the entire in the heavenlies and on the earth, the entire array of the demonic side seeks the globe. They seek the globe. And 2012 spirituality will layer it and broaden it. Point G on the notes today. Will Janet Napolitano, will she use Harold Camping, the End of Days issues, against real believers and individuals that do talk about the end of days and prophecy, as she has done already, which is really scary. Point H. Will the unsaved, will those that don't in the media and world, and again, on regular local news, they're all talking about the Harold Camping, the rapture going to occur. And will the unsaved use this issue not to be saved then? Will they just laugh at it? Will this build scoffers? You know, it talks about in the book of Peter, as part of prophecy, God says in the end of days, there's going to be scoffers, mockers. People are going to laugh at and scoff and say, yeah, they've talked about this all. Look, once again, 1994, look at the Jehovah's Witnesses in the early 1900s. They all proclaim Christ is coming. Look at Y2K. Look at all these things. And it never occurred. Look. And the scoffers will go on and on and on. All the while that they are spiritually empty themselves and have no answers, like Richard Dawkins, like Stephen Hawking. They can scream, there's no God, because they don't know him. Because they want God to jump through their little hoop they've created. God's not going to do it. God's got a wide open door and says, this is the way. That's God. You can decide to go your own way. You're not going to find it. You can decide to do your own thing. How's that going for you? But I wonder whether the unsaved will say, you know, if you're listening right now and you're going to say, oh, see, this is, yeah, no, look, all of a sudden we wake up on Sunday morning, it's the 22nd, it never happened, look, once again, you know. And so when it comes to false stuff like this, and that's why we took it up this week to say, you know what, this is just as false as any other kind of cult or group, but they are using biblical concept of the second coming. And the Greek word for the rapture issue is harpezo. By the way, Chuck Missler was on with on Coast to Coast last night, doing a good job, by the way. I heard him share Christ, proclaim Christ in the midst of all that he was sharing. And I'll be there at the conference, the Future Congress in July that he talked about, and Tom Horn and many others that are going to be there. They're going to allow me to come in and share two sessions on Saturday and also on Sunday. So we hope that you're going to come to the Future Congress. Check out shatterthedarkness.net and scroll down and you'll see a little banner, tap on it, and you'll get the entire in Branson, Missouri. And now I'm finding out this is a major place. We might take an extra couple days to stay around. Let me finish this out. The last point I have on here is I. A through I. Will the debacle of Harold Camping cause a lot of believers to shy away from biblical studies on prophecy and the issues of the second coming? Let me tell you this. This spurs me on to bring out the real clarity and sequence that Jesus spoke about, not using allegory, not using numerology, not using private interpretation. You know, when you have individuals that deny the deity, it always is associated with denying salvation. Therefore, they do not ever get the Spirit of God. He's not given when false doctrine is embraced. So we don't need to shy away from biblical prophecy. We need to be very clear. We need to use the biblical prophecy, the scripture, to show that Camping and those like Jehovah's Witnesses have proclaimed this in the past again and again are way outside of the simple, consistent biblical revelation. Biblical revelation brings clarity. Biblical revelation brings a revelation of the sequence. And that will be the grid by which we can share. If you don't know Christ, we simply call you. The Spirit of God, I know, calls you to come to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus. To receive Him. He wants to come into your life right now. You can turn to Him. And when Christ comes into your life, He gives you the Spirit of God. Well, that's the music. We're at the end. We love you. End of the week. We've got some stuff we're going to put up on Saturday and Sunday, so check it out. Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net. Keep us in your prayers. Yes, we need your support. That's our commercial. Help us in that way if you can. God bless. Good night.